shut in with God in a secret place. Sharing with Him, beholding His face, and gaining more power to run.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Gospel in Little Rock. It's glad to be home, being gone for a few days. And I've gotten to be such a homebody that they had to twist my arm to stay for Friday night service. But I was glad that I did stay. I was with the Republic folks Friday night. And we had a wonderful memorial funeral for Sister Jill up there. And, you know, I'm really thankful to be with a group of people that is not delusional when it comes to funerals. And, you know, I've been to some funerals and they're talking about this person like there's some awesome person. We all knew he's a devil. I'm wanting to go up there and check the casket and make sure I'm at the right place. You know? Is this the same person I knew? But with Sister Jill, I don't think you could say enough wonderful things about her. As much as she was as she cared about other people. A lot of things a lot of people don't know about her. I was thinking there was a time when she was a foster mother. Talking about giving people second chances here, I don't know the story on the mother, but she took care of that little boy like it was her own. And his name was Jalen, and I remember him. She'd bring him to church. And then the mother whatever trouble she got in, she got out of. And she worked really, really hard to do whatever she could to get her child back in custody of her. But, you know, she was so appreciative to Sister Jill that her and Jill were friends up to her death and kept up, sent her pictures of Jalen. And she was so appreciative that he had a good mother take care of him, even though she couldn't have children of her own. And just the way she took care of her, she was taking care of her mother. Sister Pat's health was declining, and she took care of her niece as her sister was going to become a nurse practitioner. From the minute she started college all the way all the way through, she was just like a second mother to Brianna, putting herself last behind everybody else. And then, you know, she was going to school to be a special ed teacher, and there'll be thousands of children have missed out on a lady who would have been an awesome special ed teacher, I'll tell you that right now. And I had somebody, one of my cousins, write me, "I don't understand, how could this possibly happen? I'm trying to understand this." And I told her, I said, "I'm not trying to understand it. I'm not even trying to comprehend it or figure it out. This has happened. I have to accept it, and I have to get peace and go on." And it's because it's a futile search. You're not going to understand it. And as the family left, as all the friends and relatives all parted out Thursday night after visitation. Now, this has been what a lot of y'all may not know, some of y'all do because it's kind of gotten out, that Sister Pat has either stage 3 or stage 4 renal cancer, which even if it's isolated now, is not very good. My grandfather died of it, and they told my dad at that time, when they removed his kidney, that this will come back probably in the lungs. And he's cancer-free now, and they're right, he ended up with lung cancer. So this is a very critical stage right now for Sister Pat. And yeah, she does not look healthy at all. She looks very, very poor health. And what's that? Yeah, she has had a stroke, and she's fell and broke her hip in the last, what, year? Yeah, so she just... So as the family left and we are there with them, she wanted to see Jill one more time. They raised the casket and sit there and looked at her. And then she turned around and preached a message of thankfulness to us that touched our hearts. And Sister Inez, I thought of you. And she said, "I don't know how anybody without God can stand losing a child ahead of them." And says, "But he's given me peace." And she said, she started telling us how wonderful her daughter was and all the good things about her and appreciative and thankfulness. And I was amazed, to be honest with you, of her reaction through all this. Because Jill was a steadfast rock in the family, but there was something that she said, and we read it this morning, I can't remember exactly how it was, about she tried to be a good person but sometimes fell short, and then sometimes amazed herself at how good she, you know, what she was able to do. And I thought, you know, that ought to be all of our mantras too, that we want to be the best we can. And we don't have, you know, we don't have to look outside the people we know and go find a cause to champion. But there are enough things right here that you know, that people you know in the church, your friends, that you can be a beacon of light, a well of salvation, a life-saving vehicle that people right here could use your help. There's somebody here that needs you today. They could use your awesomeness. Everybody here's got something about them that's awesome. And it's because what's been implanted in their hearts, what they have in their lives. And I don't have to find some way out something to find, but there's people here that I could be a help to. And I'm just going to ask God to show me that opportunity. What opportunities that I have now? You know, Sister Jill had a few. My dad said she was an idealist at her funeral and a romantic. But even though she had some ideas that she championed, the need that she met was right there in her family. You know, she didn't have to go save the world. She was a wonderful gift to the and a precious gift to a family. And how I want that me, I would like to be precious like that. I want to be a gift to a need close by that I can be a help to. And so that's kind of the thoughts that I got out of this last weekend. Well, the weekend's not over, but the last couple of days. And I want to be better. I want to be a better person. I told Dad, I said, man, I'm telling people when I'm talking, I hadn't seen in a while, on the phone, love you guys. Love you guys. I want everybody, you know, I want you to know that I do care about you, and that I don't know when the last time I'll see you will be. It could be tomorrow. We could be around and hooked up together for 30, 40 more years. I don't know. But I want to take every moment as a precious moment and not take it for granted. I've been blessed in my life that I've not really lost anybody significant in my life, tragically or unexpected. You know, my grandparents were all older when they passed away. It wasn't unexpected. I've had both of my parents. I've had my siblings. I really haven't lost anyone that was really close to me. I expect this is probably the closest to me that I've lost unexpectedly. She was so much to so many people, but I was thinking about there's a lot of other people that have tragically lost people that were very close to them. And as I think about my cousin Randy, and he's been through a lot in his life, and this is a great obstacle for him, and I know he would appreciate your prayers as well as Jill's sister, with Pat being, she's having take that role of caretaker now, and has been transitioning in that role somewhat, been helping quite a bit, but now Sister Pat's going to be living with her and her husband, and she may lose her mother soon too, and I've lost her best friend and her sister, and the facing the hardship of losing her mother too. She would really appreciate your prayers. And the whole family up there, Brother Ron, many of y'all that go way back with us will remember Brother Ron Arthur's, and I know he would desire your prayers, especially I can see something in him that still reaches out to God. So that's some of the prayer requests I'd like to bring back from there. And some of the ones here I'd like to request would be Brother Crow is not feeling well, and the Crows are not here. And Brother Smith is in Wichita this morning. And then a special request would be for Brother Arthur Vaughn. and I'm not sure I'm going to get this right, but he's really kind of come up missing. Well, he has come up missing, and we're worried about him. Brother Ron's been worried for a little over a week about him because he used to send his text out. I never got on the text messages from Brother Arthur, but from some of y'all that have probably know that you haven't been getting them. So Brother Ron checked on him, and his job filed a missing person report on him because he's been missing for 2 weeks. And he went by his apartment to check on him, and his vehicle is gone, but the apartment people told him that all of his stuff is there. And also, was it a man from work that got a call? A man from his work got a call, and I guess probably one of the last persons that he called said that through his phone, evidently when he told them whose phone it was, they said, well, that's not the person who checked in this motel. Is that right? Yeah. Somebody had his phone checked in a hotel and left his phone there. So the way Brother Ron understands it, get it from this other man. So he's... I know he would want us to pray for him and keep him on our mind and hearts and wherever he's at, that a hand would be on him. Brother Pryor, are they on the road today? They get home late tonight or tomorrow. Him and Justice went to Texas first and seen his mother, then went to Kansas and seen his father. And then Brother Brett is on a journey as well. He's went on a solo vacation. He's traveling by himself, and so I know he would desire your prayers. And probably a lot of you know, you've seen where he's at. He's on Facebook and everything. So, but I know there's, you know, lots of toils and dangers, snares that you can fall into out there. So pray that Lord's hand would guide him. Keep praying for Sister Elsie and her family. Got to be in church with Randy and Brenda Friday night. It was a pleasure. It was really a pleasure to be with them. Any other needs this morning? Karen still not feeling good, and she's down there and working in the kitchen. Pray for her. Is that, DJ, you got your hand up? Dotson family is in prayer. Okay. That's Sister Durham. Sister Helen has going through chemotherapy treatments, fixing to go through the hardest round of it, or a lot stronger dose of it. I know she would want her prayer. Sister McGowan. Sister McGowan needs prayer. Okay. The ushers would come forth, and the receive the offering today. Oh, and I want to mention our visitors. We have Sister Shay here with us today. We also have Marie Dorn with your grandchildren. Is that right? Could have Joe again today with us. Glad to have you here. And Josh back there. Brother Lacey back there in the back. Glad to have you here. They're not really visitors, and they've been. But we like it when you're here. I want you to know that. All right, let's just stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our blessings in our lives, our benefits in our lives, and all those who we've been surrounded with that have blessed our lives. And Lord, we ask you to have a special hand on Randy, Jenny, Pat, and Ron, family there, all the loved ones there that's going to miss Jill. Keep your hand upon them. The ones that are sick today that cannot be here. All the ones who are mentioned that do not feel well. We ask for a special blessing upon them to help them through the time of sickness and pain. Lord, wherever Brother Vaughn is, you know where he's at, Lord. We ask you to be with him, comfort him, help him, Lord, in his condition. Lord, we ask you to keep your hand on the ones traveling, Brother Smith, Brother Brett, Brother Pryor and Justice, oh God. We ask you to be with them. Ask that we have a wonderful, marvelous time in you today. So grateful and so thankful for all your blessings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Lord, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for our visitors that's come to be with us today. Let their minds be illuminated and touched.
edify Him, to lift His holy name up. I appreciated the song service today and where it was going and the words that Brother Michael Smith had given to us in relation to Sister Ayers' passing. Excuse me. I was thinking about the passing of loved ones. It was sudden recently whenever, and most of you know about the passing of my uncle, Ray Valdez. It was sudden, but it was a little more aware of the situation than with Sister Ayers. But how in that funeral that I was a part of, Brother Smith had done a pretty good job of going through and giving us a little bit more of an insight. Like Brother Smith was saying here today, you know, we can't necessarily find the reason, and that some things we need to accept in God's hands. But I want to look at what is given in relation to my life and what it can mean for me. And he was talking about how reaching out to just to those that we come in contact with, being able to say one more time to a person on the phone, to our family, to our loved ones, to friends, hey, I appreciate what you've done in my life. You know, to give those flowers, to give that praise today, while I'm still on this earth, while I still have this opportunity, I can do my part in that way. If it's just to let someone in the church know, you know, maybe I haven't had a chance to take you aside and say, and I'll just use Brother McGowan, Brother McGowan, for many years I've looked at your life as you've been in this assembly. I've known you my entire life, and you've been a stone for me. You've been someone I could go back to and look at, and I appreciate that. And maybe I've never told him that before. Maybe I need to go to those people and let them know, you know, you've helped me, and I want to let you know that. And likewise, there should come an age where I say, I appreciate the help you've given me, but now let me be that help. And I may not, you know, I may go to him and say, what can I do to repay you? But I want to just be able to find those needs that need to be filled. To, if there's something that's undone, to do it. To take up my cross and bear it daily. And to walk this road. And I was thinking about, though, in relation to the song about worship, I was thinking about that. And I was talking to Elisha about what is that worship. And I was thinking about losing those, and how it gives our mind, you know, in Ecclesiastes 7, it speaks about, let's see here, Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment. You know, and that right there, we could just dwell on that thought for the rest of the day. Today in our society, this is not something that anyone cares about anymore. I deal in contracts. Now, there was a day, I'm told, because I didn't live in it, that you could go to somebody and you could shake their hand. And I could know that when we shook hands, whatever you said would happen. Because it was your name on the line. It was your family name on the line. And you wanted to make sure you didn't do anything to sully that name. It's not that way today. People sign contracts without a thought, and they have no thought to how they can break them. And that's a legally binding document versus a handshake. But a good name is better than precious ointment. I want to have that good name in Christ today. I want to be able to when someone looks at my life, see, that name that I'm representing today, that authority that I represent today, I want it to be Christ. And I don't want to do anything to sully that. I don't want to do anything to make it to where, oh, that's what it means to be a Christian. What does that mean for my life? I want to have that testimony. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. I think that's something that at least that I can take from this situation, this trying time I know for the Ayers family, is, you know, I want to lay it to heart. I want to understand, what does that mean to me? Because so often, in this life, in this day, in this fast age of technology, in this day of go, 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 email, text message, whatever, I can forget. I can forget, what is my reason for being here? What is my calling? What should I be doing? What should I be finding my hands to do? And it's to worship the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my being, saying, God, take everything that I am, create a new heart, create a clean heart within me. Renew my spirit daily, Lord. Reach out to Him, to worship Him. What does it mean to worship the Lord? First off, I have to acknowledge that I did not create myself. I had nothing to do. At best, I was, I'm not going to quote it correctly right now, but I was shaped in iniquity. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's at best when I came into the world. Number one, I had nothing to do with it. Number two, that wasn't the best of circumstances. But today, I can say, God, how I came here is not, once again, I'm not considering that. I'm here now. And I know I'm here for the purpose of lifting Him up, to worship Him. God wants true worshipers in spirit and in truth to lift Him up, to magnify His name, because there's plenty out there that will do away with that. There's plenty out there that are trying everything they can do to say there is no God. There is no reason to pay homage, to love, to trust a greater, higher power. And I don't have to just go around and say, well, I know there's a different force in this world. No, I know my Savior. I know my God today. You know your God today. We have that knowledge, and that is strength, knowing who we worship, having a better understanding of what it's all about. I don't have every little detail. We don't have every little detail of every little thing. And sometimes a person of my nature, it bugs. Because I want to know, how does it work? Why? Why? There's that question. Why? Well, I don't have to have that. If I'll just submit to my Savior. If I will just say, God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know from day to day, but I do know that I can lift my hands to You in a surrender. I know I can say, God, I want to worship You. Not just, you know, this outward manifestation should be showing what's inside of me. It should be that my heart is seeking Him on a day-to-day basis. It's trying to get closer to Him on a day-to-day basis. It's trying to know Him in all His sufferings and understanding that if it's a good day, if it's a bad day, if it's just a mediocre went-by day, blessed be the day of the Lord. I had another day to lift my hands to Him and walk closer to Him and see Him a little bit more, hopefully, in my life. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. You know, When I come to service, I want to have that humble spirit before God. You know, I want to have that spirit of mourning in relation to what's in me. I can have a spirit of joy in what Christ has done for me in my relationship with Him, but I want to have that humble spirit before Him. You know, a broken and a contrite spirit, He will not turn away. He is open to that. When I come to Him and say, God, I know my place, and I'm nothing. But through Him, I can be like Christ and rule and reign with Him one day. I want to magnify that. I want to lift that up in my life. I want to realize I'm not here to amass great wealth, because I'm doing a terrible job of that, Sister Inez, so it's a good thing. I didn't mean to pick on you on that anyway. I really didn't. I just, okay. I'm going to come back over here now. I'm not here to be famous. I'm doing a bad job of that. I'm not a professional athlete. I could have been a professional bench warmer, but I figured it was a different path for me. But I'm here to seek God with all my being. Let me say it again. Say that with me. All my being. That's not a part. That's not just a little part to play. But I need to submit myself. In Romans it says to what? To submit to. Now I said it. And now I'm trying to get the verse. Let's go to, I think it's Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, I've heard so many times, and when I was younger, I went to a private Christian school here. Had the opportunity, the literature we read so many times was about men and women of faith that gave their life and what they knew. And I often would think about naturally speaking. You know, you read that book, Through the Gates of Splendor, about those people that gave their lives for those South American Indians. They were martyred. That often went through my mind. I mean, you know, this scripture right here talks about a living sacrifice. You know, yes, someday we may be called on to give our natural life for God. But you know what? It is my reasonable service to be a living sacrifice. To give my life today. To sacrifice my time today. Because what I have today is nothing. It's what am I paying for? You know, all you have to give to Christ is your life. That's what your payment is. Giving what is already His. Because He bought us. With His blood, we're His anyway. But it's me submitting myself as that living sacrifice. And it says, wholly acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God. I can't always make up that holy part. I don't do a very good job of that. But if I will just come to Him and submit myself and say, God, I want to be all those synonyms we talk about. I want to be holy. I want to be acceptable. I want to be righteous. I want to be upright, Lord. And I know I need Him to put that in me. But if I don't at least come here and worship God, if I don't lift my hands, if I don't clear my mind today and meditate on Him, then I'm not doing what I can do. I'm not submitting myself. I'm not doing this which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You know, that is a hard one for me. Be not conformed to this world. How easy it is. And I don't even mean in dress or in action. I'm talking about when I'm in my day-to-day work, I have to be careful because I start conforming to man's thinking, man's ideologies, what man says is important. And my mind no longer is dwelling in the Spirit. I'm not walking in the Spirit because they that walk in the Spirit, they'll be the sons and daughters of God, not those that play in and out of it occasionally. But they that walk in the Spirit. Christ walked in that Spirit for His life. When He said, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you that you could be where I'm at. Where I am right now is where you're going to have an opportunity to be. I want to be able to walk in that Spirit. Ever be cognizant of what God is leading me to do. And not conform my thinking to what man says, but what does God say? Be careful for nothing. Be careful in everything is what it's telling us. Be careful for where my mind goes to. What am I thinking? I may not be thinking on anything negative. I may not be thinking on anything wrong, but where am I at? Am I giving God the opportunity? If Philip hadn't had the mind that day, hadn't had his mind open, he would have never went over and talked to the Ethiopian. They would have never had that reference in the Bible if he hadn't just been willing to be led by the Spirit. That's what I want to have today. And I want that Spirit to move in me. And today I felt to get up. It didn't help when you looked over at me and you had that look on your face like almost you. Anyway, I don't know if you knew or not, but it was like I felt. You might not even been looking at me, Sister Pryor. But when you looked over, I already felt to get up, and it was like God was using you right there to be like, you know He's dealing with you. So I was like, okay, all right, Lord, I surrender. I'll either surrender and maybe magnify you and help your people, or I'll get up here and burn. Whatever it is, Lord, that's what my sacrifice is today, to get up here and to realize I need to go back to acknowledging who my Savior is, understanding who my Father is. When Elijah was there and he was having that fun little battle with the prophets of Baal and Asheroth about, you know, hey, wake up your God. Maybe he's on a vacation. Who knows where he's at? Maybe he went to a Mavs game. You know, where's your God at? I know who my God is. I know my God is not sleeping. I know my God is not dead. I want to worship Him, though, in that acknowledgement. I want to realize I am dependent on Him. My very existence is dependent on Him. My time is always. And I want to just lift Him up in that. And I want to say, God, I acknowledge You in my heart. I acknowledge my place in You. And I want that to create that hunger for a true worship. For a daily worship. Not you know, when honestly, this is my thoughts, and brothers, if you feel differently, or if this is wrong, correct me in this. But you know, I don't, honestly, in my mind, the way I believe it should be in my life is that when we meet together, at whatever days it would be, Wednesday and Sunday in our case, when we meet together, it should be a culmination. It should be almost like a celebration of what has already been occurring through my life that week. But what I often do is when I come to church, it's, whoa, I need Your help, Lord, right now, because I have been down in the mully grubs all week long. I have not been a living sacrifice. I have been barbecue. Okay? I'm toasty now. I'm a burnt steak. Pour some water on me. I'm saved by the word of our testimony. I hope I'll be saved through this. I'm just sharing my heart. You know, I want to come in here on Wednesday and Sunday, and I want with my brothers and sisters, because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. It's more of the Holy Ghost that I can feel throughout the week, because we're gathered together. Where two or three are gathered in His authority, in His name, He is there also. We are gathered in a heavenly place today. I want to acknowledge that. I want to lift that up in my heart, that I have come to a place where souls are saved, where we are taught the oracles of God. I want to acknowledge that. I want to lift that up, and that will help me to have a true worship of my God. That will help me to bow down. I can physically bow down. I can prostrate myself before God, and that can have a humbling effect. And sometimes I've done that, and it really does help. But I want in my heart, I don't want to be like that little boy that said, yeah, you know, what is it? I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. I want my heart to reflect what I'm doing physically. I want to be bowed down in my heart to Him and say, God, You are my Father. You are worthy of all praise, all honor, all glory. The rocks will never cry out as long as I'm living, God, because You will have my worship, not just in praise, not just in an outward manifestation, but in my life. In my life, I want to have that walk with Him. I want to be able to feel that Spirit stronger, to not be that leaky vessel. So that way, when these times come of why, when I'm having to consider, when I'm going to the house of mourning, that I can still, though, turn to my Master and say, God, I don't have the answers, but I know You do. I know my Heavenly Father understands, and Your will happen no matter what, God. I'm not going to doubt You. I know Your plan is going to come to fruition. I just want to be a part of it. So I wanted to get up here today and just admonish us to, you know, just to reach out. To reach out in a stronger way. You know, we have a place today. We're not, if those of you who weren't in Bible study today, Brother Durham related a story. Who was it? Who was the brother that who went to that church? Brother Ayers. That's Sister Jill's father. Her grandfather. Randy's father. Oh, brother. I'm sorry. Brother Randy's father went to a different church, or like an evangelist meeting, tent meeting. And the minister may well have been inspired by God and was saying things about, you know, let's see someone get up and dance for the Lord today, you know, and let's see something to shout today. And then he inspired him, and he got up and did it. And then the minister was like, whoa, that's not really what I meant. Guess what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty not to do everything that we want in the flesh, but to lift up the name of the Lord. No matter if it's the youngest to the oldest, if you want to do a jig in your seat, Sister Elsie, if you want to get in that wheelchair and just go around in circles, well, then we'll go right behind you. We'll praise His name because we have that opportunity today. And I don't want to take that for granted. We're not in a sealed house today. We're not in a jail today. We have come to the Mount Zion, the holy place before God. And I want to be able to lift Him up in a true worship today.
Like God's here and He's talking to us. I feel like He's talked to me. Those songs this morning, the band song and then the songs that we sang, the song service, each one just touched my heart in a different way. It started with the band song. I know we didn't sing it as words. I don't know how many people actually really think about the words on those, but when you're playing it, it's kind of hard for me anyway not to think the songs in my head off the words. And I just kept thinking, it will rain again. It will rain again. You know, of course, Brother Phil, you know, Lord, water me. I'm thirsty. I need, you know, but it's a little bit departure here, but probably a lot of you in here have seen that movie, Facing the Giants. And what came to me in that was when He was talking to that man that went through the school praying every day, and the man talked to the coach, and you know, he was saying, you know, if two farmers are preparing for rain, if you know, they're praying for rain, and one farmer goes out and prepares his fields for it, he gets out the plow and he gets busy and he's working and he's getting prepared for it, the other farmer just sits in his house, you know, Lord, send rain. He said, which one really believes that God's going to answer that prayer? And of course, it's the one that's working and getting ready. And so then that's all I could think about during that was, oh, Lord, you know, yes, we want the rain. Yes, we want the rain. But am I preparing my field for it? Am I getting busy or am I just sitting here like you were saying, oh, Lord, you know, I got barbecued this week. You know, give me something here. You know, cool me off. But am I really preparing my ground so that when it does, Brother Durham was talking about that today, you know, the ground, you know, have I prepared it? Wayside soil doesn't have to stay wayside soil. Stony ground doesn't have to stay stony ground. We've learned that. You know, we can do something. We can prepare our ground. And that's what I want to do. So that was my, you know, that was my prayer. And then Sister Jody went into that song. You know, we have come into this place. For what reason? To say, oh, to complain to God about how bad my week was and how I got barbecued for the bill. It's not what I came for. I mean, it may have been what I came for, but I need to change what I came for then. Because we're here to worship Him. That's what we came for, you know. If He hasn't done another thing for me, He gave me a vision. He brought me this way. And my goodness, I can talk about that list Sister Jill had. I can't. If I start just listing, you know, there's a song, Count Your Blessings. Try doing that sometime. Try doing that. If you really focus on it and you really think about it, you won't come to the end of your list. There's just too many. There's just too many. By the time I say, you know, I get through maybe five or six, I quit counting because I know I'm not going to be able to get to the end of it. I can start naming them, and we could be here all night. You can start with, and we might kind of laugh and chuckle a little bit at the little kids, but you can start with, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful for this church, for my pastor. You can start right there, and we all probably should focus on that a little bit more. But I just wanted to, I just singing that. And then the second verse, Sister Jody, how did that go? I have come into this place. And then the second, I didn't know it. I'd never heard it before. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him. And just thinking about that, just thinking about those words, He is. I've lived long enough to know that there's not much in me. There's not much righteous in me at all. He is all my righteousness. Whatever of Him is in me, that's what's righteous. And I stand complete in Him. Without Him, I am absolutely, totally nothing. Nothing. But I'm complete in Him. He makes up whatever difference, whatever He makes it up. I'm complete in Him. And then just forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget, you know, because we come in, Brother Phil, God, help me. This is what went wrong this week. Lord, I need your help with this, you know, and I do. I mean, I have stood up here recently several times and said, I need more, you know. Well, who am I thinking about? Me. That's who I'm thinking about when I say that. I'm not concentrating on Him. I'm thinking about me and what I need. And I know God knows that and understands that, but it's still, I'm still focused. My focus is off. That's what that brought to my attention. Lord, my focus is total. I'm still thinking, me, you know, help me. And I want to be focused on Him and keep reminding myself what He's done for me. Several years ago, I feel like I had a thought on worship. Now, this is kind of silly. Maybe it's just for me. But, you know, I got to thinking, I'm going to pick on your grandparents, Brother Michael, Sister Cindy. I'm going to pick on y'all a little bit. But I got to thinking about, you've heard the term, you know, oh, they just worship that kid. And it's usually grandparents with new grandbabies. They just worship that little baby, you know. They just worship him or a child, because it's usually it goes beyond babyhood. And what does that mean? I got to thinking about that. What do we usually mean? Well, usually, when the Brother Michael, when Connor comes in the room, do you forget about yourself and concentrate on him? Pretty much. Yes. You forget about yourself, and you are focused on that child, grandparents, you know, and parents can be this way too, you know, or it can be aunts, uncles, been there, done that. It can be lots of things, but you are focused on the, and usually what they want is what they get, if, you know, if they're wanting something, oh, that's all, yeah, they can have, especially grandparents to parents. Oh, it's okay. He can have that. You know. Well, I couldn't have had it when I was wanting it. You know, but my grandparent wasn't around. Then she was just parent. She was just mama. And it was a different story. You know, but that's kind of the connotation that we use. We worship, to worship something. It comes, that suddenly becomes first. That's the focus. That's, you know, everything is for that. You know, grandparents will give up stuff to buy grandkids what they want. Yeah, grandkids. Usually. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Most of y'all in here have been there, done that too. But that's kind of when I feel like, you know, God was talking to me a little bit about it. What is worship really, you know, is putting Him first, literally. You know, you're, suddenly your wants, your needs, they don't matter so much. What He says goes, you know. And that's I want to find that in my heart. There's a song, Sister Cindy, I was asking her to make sure, about the heart of worship. Getting back to that, where your heart, it's not just what you say, like you said. It's not just, oh, I'm bound down. You know, it's not that. Those are just, it's right here. It's right here. Getting back to that heart of worship. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to focus on when I come to this place. That's what I want to be coming for, to worship Him. Yeah, I might have some needs, but that needs to be secondary. I'm here to worship Him because whatever He has done, He doesn't have to do another thing for me. He doesn't have to heal me again. He doesn't have to give me another blessing. All of that is just secondary. He brought me here. He touched my life. He came in to my heart, touched me. He is my righteousness. I am complete in Him. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. That's what I want to stay focused on. I appreciate the service today.
Love me.
as she just said, here am I. So hopefully the Lord can use me. And beforehand, let's get the real another hook up first. As I said earlier, as she was singing, here I am, Lord, please use me. And also I said, here, let's go for another 6 months before I speak again, because sometimes it's better that way. If you don't hear the same person all the time, you might halfway pay more attention when they don't speak too much. So I'm thankful I'm here, and you know, different things were said today, and I'm trying to figure out how to put them in the right perspective and put them in the right place. But earlier, we was talking about persons. Well, myself, I've never been to a fear of death. As long as I feel like I was in the Lord's hands, I had nothing to worry about. But then time came along. I've got two young people, and then I thought, uh-oh, I might need to stick around a little while, you know. They might need to have me around till they grow up at least. And my mother made the same comment about both of my children, that she wanted to live as long as until they grew up. And as speaking about using and death and all that, I remember Uncle Edgar, Brother Tucker, said one time he remembered when Reagan's assassination took place. Now, this is going way back there. The Secret Service man, Timothy, I can't remember his last name right now. I'm starting to get 50 now. I can't remember things like I used to. But he jumped up and took a bullet, even though he had a bulletproof vest, in the abdomen. And he said, if people in the church could, you know, when it comes down to it, could sacrifice themselves for God, not just for the president, but just for sacrifice themselves for God. So I would like to be able, if they ever came through the doors, and say, okay, what you guys doing just ain't making the feds happy. You don't have that freedom that you used to have, a freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of assembly. You don't have that freedom. Are we halfway ready to, okay, here you go, blow me away, you know. But I want to be able that if it comes to that day, that I'll say, okay, God, take me. I'm ready. But right now, I'm not quite ready, so we'll time out for that right now. But I'm thankful that I'm in a church, that I do have an idea of knowing how to be in the hand of God, and know that, you know, you're not just going to die and go one place or the other. I know exactly where I'm going. And I want at least, I don't want to have what I'm thinking I have now. I want to get a better resurrection. I don't want to have an unjust resurrection. But when I resurrect, I want him to be, I'm trying to remember what's on Uncle Edgar's tombstone. He fought a good faith and all that good stuff, and well pleased, and you fought a good fight. But right now, you know, sometimes I think I could be unjust. But I don't want to have an unjust resurrection. I want to have as just as possible. And I'm thankful where I'm at. I still don't have no major fear of death, because, hey, they ain't going to have no weenie roast with me. I'll tell you that much. So I don't come to church because of a fear of a weenie roast. I don't have no fear of that. But I at least want to have a just resurrection, so when I do come up,
that everything will be hunky-dory and all that good stuff. There, you know, as Brother Phil was talking about, trials that goes on now. You know, your personal trials. You could think, well, I treated her okay. And by the way, Sister Lynette made me think of something. Shame on me. There was a film called Ghost. And he couldn't say the word, I love you. He would just say, ditto. Sorry, folks, if I just say ditto you, that's just me. But at least you know where I'm coming from when I say ditto. And, I mean, I remember Brother Fleming telling me one time we had a hugging service. And just, it's one of those things I don't care for hugging people too much. And this showing, expressing love, it's a little bit difficult for me. But if it takes things like that to make heaven, so be it. You know, I've got to do what I got to do. So I'm thankful for where I'm at. And thankful, you know, you might feel like you've been going through the barbecue and burnt to the crisp, and you're thinking, okay, you're trying to tell me something up there, you know. But, and he probably is. Or he's opening up new doors for a person, making a way to make things better. Because as Aunt Mary used to say, or Sister Tucker used to say, all things happen for the good. So I got to look at it. All things happen for the good. I've come up with a couple situations here lately in my life that you think, that's interesting. You know, you think, there's got to be some good in it. It's maybe given me time to say, okay, straighten that up. Maybe start saying ditto in more of a personal way. There's a lot of things that could be coming up just to slap me in the face and say, wake up, stupid, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we all, you know, we all right here, our main objective is to get closer to God and try our best to get what we can out of this so we can have what? Now, I know this is all a selfish reason, but what are we here for? Eternal life. And I want eternal life. But hey, if I got to take a shortcut between now and then and say, okay, be a memory. Hopefully, you know, when someone looks down there, it's not like that dog that had pretty teeth, because my teeth ain't that great. But, you know, at least that was one positive thing they said about that dog. I can't remember the whole story, but someone said that dog had pretty teeth. So, I know mine ain't. That's why I don't smile too much at times, you know. But just take what we've got to have and become the person that God wants us to become. I was talking to a guy, and I said, why do you belong to this organization to make me a better person? And I scratched my head and I thought, I go to church to try to become a better person. I don't need no organization to make me a better person. I need a church to make me a better person. So I'm thankful for where I'm at. And if life gives you a roller coaster, hey, that's fun. I mean, you can ask Philip how many times I've rode roller coasters and the ups and downs and ups and downs. Hey, I can't ride them as well as I used to, but you can't always have the uphill part of the roller coaster. You got to come down sometime. And if it wasn't for the downhill, you know, it makes it go faster. Coming down fast, it makes it go faster, makes more of a thrill out of it. So, you know, we got to look at life just as a good old roller coaster. You go up, you hit the top. Well, you got to come down sometime. And then, sometime in the near future, you'll be back on the top of the roller coaster again. So I'm just thankful to be here.
I was thinking, here's... Am I talking to you to do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was thinking, here's singing that chorus. Thank you. I wonder what was going through everyone's mind. You know, were we really singing it? Were we really... conscious about wanting God to use us, or was it just another song? You know, here's what went through my mind as this was going on. Kind of let you know a little bit about what I was thinking. I was thinking, Lord, what could you do in our midst? What would take place if we really yielded to you? If we really allowed you to use us? What would take place among your people if we allowed you to use us in the midst of your people? I've had an experience back years ago with Brother Tucker on the trip that he was making. And we went into service one night. When we come out of that service, I told him, I said, Brother Tucker, I said, I feel awful. He said, are you sick? I said, no, I'm not sick. Well, he said, are you hurting someplace? I said, no. I said, I feel horrible. I said, I feel like a tractor's run over. And I said, well, you know, then he began to kind of back up a little bit and ask me how I felt before we went into service. I said, I felt great. I felt wonderful. He says, I can tell you what's wrong with you. And I'm talking about, folks, you know, I'm one of these kind of guys that I can go through a situation, and I, you know, if the load's on my shoulders, I can carry it. But when the burden is all over with, when the situation is all handled, everything's taken care of, and everybody goes to the house, then I crash and burn. That's the term I'll use. But he said, I can tell you what's wrong with you. I said, for goodness sakes, let me know. I said, I feel horrible. I feel terrible. And I can't find what it is that's wrong that's making me feel this way. He said, well, he said, you got up tonight when I got up. I said, Brother Tucker, I didn't get out of my chair. He said, yeah, but he said, you got up behind me. He said, when I stood up, you stood up. When I was preaching, you was preaching. He said, you was behind me in my efforts and my work and my labor. What I was trying to accomplish tonight and what the Lord was trying to do. I said, does it make you feel this way every time? He said, every time you do it, it'll make you feel that way. And I found through the years that that's the truth. That I've, you know, when these girls, and I say girls, I can call them that and get by with it, maybe except for Sister Weininger. And she still likes to be called a girl. I know that for a fact. But when they get on the piano and they start playing, I like to get behind them. I like to get in and sing with them. Why? Because they're pulling a load. They're doing something. They're trying to work for the Lord. They're trying to fulfill this song that we just sung. Lord, I'm here. Would you please use me? I can't play the piano. I'm sorry. If I was to get on there, you folks would all go to the house and I wouldn't blame you a bit. I'd be close behind you. But they can play. They get on there and they work. They labor. And I so appreciate it, don't you? I appreciate it. I appreciate their labor and their works. I want to get behind them in their efforts. So I don't come to church just to come to church, and I don't come to church just to get them to talk either. I don't like doing that so much anymore. But there's a work here to be done. And we are the vessels that God uses to get the work done. God is not going to come down here out of heaven and do the work that needs to be done here. It's just not going to happen. If you folks are expecting that, forget it. It ain't going to take place. But if we'll begin to yield to Him, if we can get in the Spirit of God, if we can reach up and touch Him and allow Him to touch us, we can say things that will touch people's hearts and lives, that'll cause changes to be made, and we won't even know who we're talking to. That's the way God works. Did you realize that? God works through people. I noticed this morning when Brother Durham was talking, he said, he made the statement in our Bible study this morning. He said, sometimes we come in, we got one thing on our minds, and he said, you know, people keep coming in, and he said, we get up to talk, and he said, we won't even get to say what we had on our minds. He said, we'll be talking on something else, and we don't even know why we talked that way. But it's God's way of dealing with His people. That's the way God works. Aren't you glad that He does? Thought of a scripture a while ago when Brother Philip was speaking. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Did you know every one of us was born that way? Every one of us. We like to think sometimes that, you know, I've never been in drugs. Never done drugs in my life. I don't know what it is to do drugs. I wouldn't even know how to start. If somebody come up and ask me, "Do you want to do some drugs?" You know, when they first start talking about drugs back, you know, 15 years ago now, I thought they was talking about going to the drugstore and getting some drugs, you know, cough medicine, Dick Salve. You know, some of you folks will never know what a mustard poultice is like. Or to get a big wad of salve on a matchstick stuck in your mouth, and you gotta hold it. You ain't missed nothing. I can tell you that for a fact. Nobody's missed anything. But that was the way that some of us back years ago was. You know, if we had a bad cold, they used fix salve and stuff like that on us. Men gay. I was raised up thinking that drugs was something that you went to the drugstore and bought. You know, so I don't have a clue what drugs is like. And I don't really want to, if it's all right. Then, you know, you can get this, I could get this kind of attitude that, well, you know, this poor fellow's been out in the world, a girl, young man, whatever. They've been on everything, you know. They've been in the drug field. They've been in alcohol. They've been in everything that you can think of. I could get this attitude, well, I'm better than they are. You know, I could get that. Listen to what I'm saying. I have to remember that I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I was just as lost. I was just as undone without God. You know, I was just as much a nothing as anybody in the whole wide world. It don't make any difference where you're at. I was there. Now, I didn't get into those things, but the only reason I didn't is they wasn't available when I was there. If it had been, I probably would have. But look, we were all lost. We were all born in sin. We were all born in iniquity. We were all lost. We were lost. That's what I'm trying to point out. We've got no right to point fingers at anybody or anyone and say, I'm better than you are because of I wasn't involved in that. Oh, don't get that attitude. Get rid of that. We were lost. We were undone without God, without His Son. But one day the Spirit of God touched our hearts and brought us among His people and led us to feel this wonderful Spirit covering us here today. Hallelujah! He saved us by His grace. By His grace we're saved, not we ourselves. We didn't save ourselves. God saved us. God is the one that dealt with our hearts and brought us here. And if you're sitting here today, it's because God dealt with your heart and brought you here. Hallelujah. There's none of us that's going to point our fingers at you. None of us will. And if we do, we'll find out who it was, and we will, you know, deal with that problem. Because it's a problem. But we want to know that God is among us. God's dealing with our hearts and lives. You know, we're here because of the graciousness of God. Hallelujah. I'm not even sure that I'm going to get on the subject that was on my mind, but nevertheless, Jesus made the statement to Nicodemus one time. He said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's just to see it. You know, you ain't got in it yet. You know, it's nice to see a brand new Cadillac. It's nice to see one. They're nice to look at. But it's a whole lot better to ride in one, I can tell you. You know, a whole lot better to ride in one. Well, if you get, you know, get baptized in His Spirit, you know, and you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Did you know that that's not hard to do? That's not hard to do. Some people come here among us and they get to looking around and feeling this good covering that we have here, get to enjoying this good love that everybody's given us. Saying, my Lord, how do you join this bunch? That's one of the questions that crossed my mind when I got here. How do you join this? How do you get to become a part of this? I heard an elderly minister one time. I said elderly. I thought he was elderly, but he wasn't as old then as I thought he was. But he made the statement. He said, just show up. He said, show up. Hang around. And he said, you'll become a part of this. The thing about it is, you have to show up and keep hanging around. You have to do that. But I've done it now a number of years, and you know, I still am surprised at everybody that keeps showing up through the years. We've had a lot of people to show up through the years, but they didn't hang around. And I've hung around a long time now, and I'm still hanging around, and I'm still learning things about God. My Lord, you know, to be born to the water means water baptism. You know, you ought to let the Spirit of God talk to your heart. If you've not been baptized in water, you ought to let Him talk to your heart. It's a public showing. That, Lord, I want to be one of your children. I want to be one of yours. I want to be a part of your great kingdom. Let me tell you something, folks. If you'd have been here last Wednesday night, Brother Smith was talking about the new earth. Let me just give you, kind of a rendition of it if you didn't hear it. The new earth is not going to have any fleas. Not going to be any ticks there. No chiggers. You know, if you just eliminated the ticks and chiggers, I'd be pretty happy right there. Them things eat me alive. They like me. I don't like them, but boy, they like me. I can grow crops. My dad never was even bitten by a mosquito. I was out in the yard one day with him, and he was working. And I was doing a number like this, you know. And my dad said, "Son, what in the world's wrong with you?" I said, "Dad, them mosquitoes are about to eat me alive." I said, "Aren't they biting you?" He said, "No." I said, "Really?" He said, "No, they're not biting me." He held his arm out like this. Two or three mosquitoes lit on his arm. Stayed there for just a few seconds, and they left him. Guess where they went next? You got it. I was fighting them mosquitoes off. Them rascals were biting me. They wasn't biting him. But they wouldn't bite my father. He never had any trouble with chicks, tiggers, or chiggers, ticks, or mosquitoes. Yeah. Got my tongue hung around my eye too. Couldn't see what I was saying. But anyway, why, you know. But the new earth's not going to have that. It's not going to have a bunch of briars. And he made mention about planting. You know, you can put plants in the ground, or, you know, you plant a seed and it grow. And we put a seed in the ground, and it'll grow through a season. You know, if you put it in the ground in springtime before, you know, after the last frost, sometimes you put it in the ground just before the last frost and it'll make it all right. But if it comes up and there comes a frost on it, it'll kill it. Freezes to death. But, you know, it'll stay there through the spring and then through the summer and into the fall. And then it dies. But what if you could put a plant, you know, plant a seed in the ground, and death is eliminated? How long would a tomato plant last? Just kept up, taken care of, and it has the nutrients that it needs. It's not fighting with the briars and the grass and everything else, you know, that it has to fight with toward to survive. How long would a tomato plant last? How many tomatoes could you get off of it? I like tomatoes, especially if I've got a salt shaker in one hand and a tomato in the other one. I like tomatoes. But besides all that, we're going to be living with God's people on the new earth. Everybody that's alive on the new earth is going to be people of God. Not going to steal anything from you. Not going to take anything from you. You're not going to want to steal anything from them. Everything you got, you know, is yours. And everything they got's theirs. But what will you really need? You know, when you get down to it, what will you really need? We need houses. Won't need a roof on it because it's not going to be raining. You know, you won't need doors and windows because it's not going to be storming. Not going to be bugs flying through there. Now, some of you, I know, are allergic to wasps and things that stings. Personally, I don't like them. You know, I'm not allergic to them, but I don't like them. I can tolerate them, but I don't like them. I don't want to get stung by one, period, if I can help it at all. All those are going to be eliminated. But I'm just saying, that's just a small segment of what God's got for His people out here. It's hard for my mind to conceive how good the new earth is going to be. And then those people of us that will make the bride of Christ, it's going to be even better. How can it get better? It's a question that crosses my mind. What is better than good? Or is it good is better than acceptable? You know, we're in an acceptable life right now. This is acceptable. Anybody wanting to get out tonight or today, or you want to leave and go on out of here, out of this life, so we can say this is an acceptable life, right? Even with the chiggers and the ticks, and I can work with them. You know, may have to scratch two or three times to get through them, but I can make it. But God has got something better for His people. That's what I'm trying to point out. And to be born again of the water is water baptism. It's water baptism. What is so difficult about being baptized in water? You say, well, I don't know what you believe. It has nothing to do with what I believe. It has something to do with what you believe. And finding the right person to do the job. We have men in this church that are capable and qualified according to the Word of God to baptize you in water, and your baptismal would be recorded in heaven. You know, I think that we give a certificate of baptism here in this church, and you can use a certificate of baptism. See, where is it used? I think when you go down to apply for Social Security after you retire, you can use that as a statement of, as a proof of your birth, and what else? I think it can be used, though. But most of us have birth certificates. And of course, that's what's, you know, that's acceptable by the Internal Revenue Service and also by the Social Security offices. And most of you are not old enough to retire anyway, so you'll probably have a birth certificate anyway. But back before birth certificates were given out, your baptismal record could be used as proof of your birth dates. Because they felt like that if they looked at your baptismal record, that you probably wouldn't lie on your baptismal record concerning your birth dates and when you were born. So that's the reason they accepted those back through the years. But it's also, I mean, it's a public announcement to the whole wide world. And to yourself, that you are going to become a child of God and you're willing to bury your old life and take on a new life. Take on a new life. And then he spoke about a baptismal of the Spirit. Must be baptized both in water and Spirit. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Folks, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not hard to get. It is not hard to get the Holy Ghost. If it was, now let me tell you, you know, you'll hear all kinds of stories when people get up to give their experiences in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've got one. Took me several years to get the Holy Ghost, but there was a real good reason for that. One was I was kind of hard-headed. You know, didn't want to be as yielding to the Spirit of God as I should have been. So it was a little more difficult for me. But I've seen people come to the altar, get saved, and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost all in one visit. And in a lot of cases, not a long visit either. Just a matter of minutes. They get saved, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if you come here and you've already been saved, y'all already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, did you know that God counts that to you? We don't expect people to get another Holy Ghost. We don't do that. You know, in fact, you can't get the Holy Ghost a second time from the standpoint of, you can't get it the second time. That'd be like telling a person that you can be born twice. You can renew the Holy Ghost in your life, but you're not going to get it a second time. None of us will. But you can, if you've been a while, if it's taken you, you know, if you've been out, you got the Holy Ghost someplace in a church, and you've been out in the world, been a long time since you felt the covering of God and felt His Spirit covering your heart and your life. You get into a service where the Spirit begins to fall and you raise your hands and you begin to talk in tongues. Thank God. Hallelujah. He's renewing that in your heart and life. He's letting you to feel His Spirit again. He's dealing with you. You're His child. He cares for you. That's the thing about God. He cares for us. I've seen people leave the church, go out into the world. You think, well, you know, they get into trouble. And you think, well, they're fixing to leave that and come back to church. Well, they leave that problem and they take off another direction and they get into another problem that's worse than the one they just left. And then after a while, they kind of get out of that one to go into another one that's just as worse or bad than both the ones they had before that. They just keep getting into more trouble all the time. And it's God dealing with them. God will not ever quit dealing with you. Not as long as you're His child. Now, there is a time and there is a place where you can send away your day of grace, but we haven't reached it yet. We haven't got there yet. It's coming. It's coming, but we haven't gotten there yet. So what I'm saying to you is, look, let's don't try that. Let's come into this place. Let's sing these songs. Let's yield to the Spirit of God. Let's try to allow ourselves to be used of God in His kingdom. You know. Now then, let me take another route on this thought concerning, Lord, use me. You know, we get this idea sometimes, Lord, I don't mind you using me if you'd let me talk like Brother Durham does. I'd like to get up and expound the Word of God like he does. I'd like to just open up the Scriptures and begin to go through there. Be able to see them and hook them all together like he does. I can't do that, so I can't be used of the Lord. Brother Durham, did you do that always? Didn't do that always. But that's not your calling. That's his calling. That's his job. That's his job. Brother Durham, I'm not about to try to take your job away from you. I don't want your job. I don't want your job. Thought this morning as he was talking about the three, made mention today, and also wasn't last week, but the week before that you was talking about the ark had three compartments in it. First, second, third heaven. And then if you were to go to the tabernacle in the wilderness, you'd find out that it had three compartments in it. Another type of first, second, third heaven. You get into the tabernacle that Solomon built. He built it with three compartments in it, didn't he? Look, there's so many things about God that we don't know, but there is some things we do know. And we're thrilled to death that we know them, but I would swap right now everything that I know for what I don't know. I'd swap. Because God's going to, He's restoring a church. He's restoring a church. And if you look in this book, it doesn't tell you how to do it. When new people walk in among us, you know what we're thinking? Let me tell you something that goes across our minds. We're thinking, Lord, you've sent this person in here. What are they going to do with us? How are they going to help us? What are they going to say that'll stir our minds and stir our hearts and encourage us? When are they going to get on their feet and say, this is what God's done for me. He touched my life. He saved my soul. He filled me with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm here among you today because God led me here. Did you know that those words alone will cause us to come out of our chairs and come to our feet and say, thank God he's touched another one of us. It's God that's bringing us together. It's God that brought us from all the walks of the lives that we were in. God brought us here. Paul made that statement. God has caused us to sit down in heavenly places. But it takes God dealing with our hearts to bring us to a place to where we can sit down and begin to hear and to feel the things that God has for us. We are just barely touching the edges of what God has in store for his people. I may not live to see it happen as far as, you know, when it comes about. I'm beginning to get a vision of how he's going to do it. I know it's going to happen. But I can tell you this. I'm excited about it. I know that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That God's going to have a church in this world one more time among the Gentile people like he had there in the book of Acts. There's going to be men that are called of God and women that are called of God that'll stand to their feet and allow God to use them. That'll allow God to do something for his people. Look, we can't do this within ourselves. We can't sit here and think, well, I've got this on my heart. I got this on my mind. I got this on my mind. I got this on my mind. Just get up and let God use you. Did you know that God can do more with us in a few minutes than we can do with ourselves in 30 years? It can happen. We would like to do it. I think, was it you, brother? Which one of you this morning made the statement that, how was that? That God uses his people sometimes mysteriously. We wonder sometimes, well, why am I talking this way? But God is building a church. God is building a church. And he's going to use us to help build that church. People like you and me. If we can begin to lift our faith and confidence and say, God, I'm a nobody. I'm not very smart. I know that you're down in my heart, that there's a place that you've taken up abode in me. There's something on the inside that's driving me and causing me to want to be one of your children. I want to be a part of your great kingdom. God is just, you know, we look at this and we think, well, this here is just all of it. And when the body gets together in a big meeting sometimes, we think, well, this is all of it. But this is not nothing like all of it. Brother, you turn over into the book of Revelation, you'll find out there that God eventually is going to come back to this earth and set up his kingdom here on the earth. Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? Wouldn't you like to see God, the being that started this whole thing? Wouldn't you like to meet him? Wouldn't you like to meet Jesus Christ and talk to him? Woo, I got some questions. You know, I asked Brother Smith a lot of questions on the scriptures. What about this, Brother Smith? What about this? You know, and he's giving me answers to it. But I got some questions I'd like to ask the Lord. I'd really like to know. I'd really like to know just exactly why that he's done all the things he's done. You know, you can mark it down on the bottom. You know, the bottom layer is this, that he has enough love. He's got enough love. He's got enough love. He's dealt with our hearts and lives and brought us here among the people. That is so great. This is a great place to be. I'm like Brother Michael Smith said earlier. He said, you know, these things that have happened recently, and then Ann and I got notification yesterday to the effect that there's a young lady that's married to her nephew. Her brother passed away yesterday, 34 years of age. And so, you know, age age is not death-defying. Death can take us out of this life in just real short order. But I want you to know, folks, I've enjoyed being here among you. I appreciate every one of you. Brother Michael made this statement, too. He said, there's something fantastic about every one of you. And I believe that. I really do. There's something about each one of you that stands out in our hearts and in our minds. And I met Sister Shay this morning. Really the first time I really met her, but I really appreciate her. Glad to have her with us. And all these folks have just come walking in here a few minutes ago. We're glad to have you with us, too. Amen. To be a part with us. We think that God's added you to our midst. We really have that confidence and that belief. If you don't leave, we know God added you. If you do leave, we say, Lord, you may have added them, but they just hadn't stayed long enough to really become a part. So we're glad to have you with us today. Appreciate what God's doing in our hearts and in our lives. Appreciate the fact that God's allowed me to be a part today.
Well, it's been a good day. And we're fixing to continue today's activities. First, we're going to go down and eat. And then we need all of our regular members here to help us afterwards, and we'll make sure we help the team get the kitchen cleaned up. And then the ones who have been doing the dining room floor, probably same people who would do it, and then we're going to work on vacuuming the church, clean the church, and pretty much everybody just do the same job you've been doing, and we'll get it done really quick. And then there will be a youth service this evening. What time does that start? 5 o'clock? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock youth service downstairs. And which room is that? Well, there's one right and left. Well, if you're facing them, it's on the right or the left? It's on the right. There's only two rooms, brother. There's no middle room. There's three rooms down there? I'm talking about there's two doors on the one on this side and one on that side. All right, right side. Okay. I know there's another room back there, but I'm not talking about that room. Okay. Anyway, then there's the Nacogdoches meeting. Brother Painter's taking the van down there. When y'all leaving? All right. Well, if you plan on going, plan on riding the van, talk to Brother Painter today. Let him know. He's trying to figure out even if he needs to have the van ready to go. So, and then next Saturday, those of you who are not going to be going anywhere or doing to a meeting, or Brother Durham's going to need to move. Got him a house. And aren't y'all excited about him getting a house? Yeah. I'm happy for him getting a house. And they're happy about getting a house. Now, I moved them in there, and I never thought about this. Boy, it was a chore, man. They live up two flights of stairs, I think. And but after it'd be easier going down the stairs carrying the furniture than it was going up the stairs. But I never thought about this, about poor Sister Durham having to carry. We just had to do that one day. But every time they went to the grocery store, carrying all them bags of groceries up the stairs, her and Ruth and Brother Durham having to do that. And so we will be glad to get them into a house so they don't have to do that anymore. And they'll be able to accommodate more people and out there and everything else. So, all right, well, let's stand and thank the Lord for today and for the meal we're about to partake of. Give you thanks, dear Lord, for this wonderful day, for this wonderful service, for the time together with you and breaking this wonderful bread together, drinking this wonderful spirit. Lord, we also ask you, Lord, to bless the hands prepared the food downstairs and be nourishment to our body. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And then if you're, we'll let the elder folks go down first and the slow eater. So if you're a slow eater, we'll let y'all know the old folks. My aunt was a real slow eater. Should everybody be done? We'd all be...